Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of the VGF cast. I'm Ryan. I'm here with Taylor and Chris.
Hey.
Woohoo!
Chris again, being weird, dancing. We really need to put this on video.
I don't even watch the video because I can't stand it. It's too distracting.
Absolutely. So this is a special edition of the podcast. We are covering patch 3.0 and season 3 or season 2. That's confusing.
Yeah.
But season 2 of Siege and patch 3.0 was just announced. And so we're just going to give our thoughts on that relatively quickly.
Quickly as we can do anything.
Yeah, as quick as Chris can give thoughts on Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah, sorry.
I just remember last week when we're done talking about Siege finally, and there's like a half second break in the conversation. You're like, wait, can I bring up something about Siege?
Actually, I think that was me.
You guys both did that, actually.
Yeah, that was bad. Anyways, oh well.
But yeah, so basically the ESL season 1 finals were today. And congratulations to Pentakill or something.
Congratulations to anybody other than VWS.
Yes.
We don't know who won, but we know who lost.
Clever's team skunked. Beautiful.
So beautiful.
But anyway, what the heck? Should we give quick thoughts on the tournament before we move on to the really exciting stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I don't know why, but I just don't really care. Like, I watched, I think just the finals is what I watched, like the very last one. And maybe this is because like recently over the past like couple of years, I've been getting into like the Smash Bros. Melee scene a little bit, which is like really like super homegrown and like grassroots and stuff. And so like this ESL thing just feels like way too like professional and like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like I'm watching an NBA game or something. And I'm like, video games should be more like Melee tournaments.
I need scrubs producing this to really feel good about it.
I just like people who are like really, really into it. And they're like super hyped about it, like on the mic and stuff. And maybe I'm weird. Am I weird?
Probably a little bit.
A little bit.
So my biggest problem is like, I'm excited for this game to get to that point. Like, you're going to hear a little bit of optimism and a little pessimism right here. I love this game, and I think at one point it will get to the stage where like pro tournaments will be really cool. But right now, as much as it pains to say it, like there are certain aspects of the game that I don't really feel like warrant a professional scene. Like, we can't play ranked half the time because once you get to a certain point, you just run into douchebag griefers and cheater. So it's like, at this point, I almost feel like it takes away from the validity of that pro league where I'm like, I don't care to watch that.
Absolutely. And then like, even apart from like the actual hacking and all that, there's so much like jank in the game still with just like the recruit shield and everything like that. And it's like the meta is all based around this like jankiness and like this stuff that shouldn't even really exist in the game. And it just doesn't feel polished enough.
Amen. And I totally think it will get there. Like, I am not one of those people who are like, this game's dead on arrival, nothing will ever happen. I totally think that it will be something exciting to watch, like really good players play it. I just don't think that those players have a game in which they can do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yeah, and so I've been thinking a little more about this professional thing I was talking about. I think the game, like the tournament itself, doesn't have enough spectacle to it to warrant like the like really professional presentation they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you see like a League of Legends tournament or something, and it's like in the stadium full of like 20,000 people or whatever. It's like okay,
holy like, crap, yeah,
that makes sense. But here, like they're making this like, oh, this is a super professional show, but like there's no crowd. You know, like you hear like a few people clapping, and you're like, this just feels awkward and weird.
Yeah.
And then there were definitely some really rough parts from the little bit that I saw. There was like some really like rough, awkward pauses and like misunderstandings between like a couple of the commentators. And it's just like, this is weird.
The biggest problem for me is the commentators didn't know the game. Like, they didn't know how the game was played. Kind of like, they knew the basics of the game, but they didn't know like things that some operators could do. Like, one of them was like, well, they're probably going to do this objective. The other one's like, well, they can't do that one because they won it last time. Oh, is that how that works? Yeah. Like, really? You don't know the game?
You don't know how ranked something works? About,
like, yeah. Oh, well, if he has nitro and he's like, oh, that operator doesn't have nitro. It's like, oh, that one doesn't have nitro. Come on. Like, you have to have people that know the game. Like, you don't have people commentating NFL that don't know NFL football.
Right. And that's what's so great about the Melee scene is, like, it's not like, oh, we got this professional commentator who, you know, he's watched a few matches and he knows a little bit about the game. But these are, like, people who actually play the game. And they're, like, talking about, like, really, really nitty-gritty stuff, like optimal solutions in every single encounter and stuff. And, like, that makes it really cool. And then also when something cool happens, they get super hyped about it because they freak out. Cool,
yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So anyway,
these guys were just like, oh, that was a great shot. Oh, there's a pickoff. Like, you didn't even understand.
He just flanked across all of Oregon. Like, yeah, that and the other guy, amazing. Like,
that was a stupid move, a dumb move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Commented on that.
Yeah. I think also Rainbow Six doesn't necessarily lend itself too well to spectating. Like, it's just so hard to follow what's going on when you're switching perspectives all the time and everything. But
I did like the spectator mode though. Like, that was pretty cool. It was good to see that in use.
Yeah. It's cool that it works.
I know. Now if we just can get the rest of the game to work optimally. And again, I'm going to say optimistically, I think it can, and I think it will. It just doesn't yet.
Yeah. But they're bringing new things and they're fixing some things.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So Chris has a video of the whole reveal. We'll link that if you're interested. But so the big new stuff is Valkyrie, who is the operator who can throw sticky cameras. Blackbeard, who has like a plexiglass face shield on his rifle.
And he's then, essentially wearing the helmet that everybody else should be wearing.
Exactly. And then the map called Border.
Yeah. Border Patrol, I think, is the full name of it.
It looks freaking awesome.
At least that's cool. What Living Pink called it. But yeah, it does look cool. It's supposed to be like a small to medium sized. They said it's like a Hereford kind of sized map. And there's most destructibility in relation to how big the map is. So Sledge is going to be awesome, basically.
Yeah. One thing I noticed they said, too, is there is indoor rappelling. Which that's something that in a lot of maps I wish to, like, you know, like, for example, on Bank, on like the square stairs, I wish that I could like throw up a rappel onto there and go up that way or something. But so it's going to be cool. That's going to have that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they implemented that into other maps as well. Cause we don't know. I mean, maybe.
It'd definitely be an interesting thing to consider.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if they did anything to the maps at this point.
Yeah. I think it's hard to make a wide change like that just because of how much it would affect the balance of the maps.
Mm-hmm. Why, if they still haven't given us University, why would they ever go dinking around with maps that are
real? What's going on with University?
Who knows? But they went and like messed around with like random things on house that I've noticed, like things that like spots I would go or spots I would repel. And it's like, I can't go over there anymore. What the heck? Why would they even touch that?
Yeah, they definitely do some weird stuff.
I could see little tweaks and stuff, but I don't see them implementing indoor rappelling wherever there's a balcony. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they will. Prove me wrong, Ubi.
I definitely think it would be cool if there was just a little bit more vertical movement available on some of the maps. Like on the entryway to house where there's like that shelf and the bookcase. Like, it'd be cool if you could like vault up onto the shelf and then from there onto the bookcase and come up that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like just little things like that, I think would be cool. Cause a lot of times you're locked down to going upstairs and ladders, which is just death.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
But this new map looks fantastic.
It does. Yeah. It looks really good.
I noticed there was like, it seemed like there was a lot of open areas with like just big sight lines, like everywhere. Like, it seems like you're never going to be in a safe spot. Like, you're always going to have your head on a swivel.
I feel like it's what they were hoping that Yacht would be without being incredibly aggravating because nothing can be pierced by bullets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding. Freak.
Yeah, Yacht is just like, it's just bad. Bulletproof corridors all the way around. Like, that's all it is.
I mean,
yeah.
And what that turns into is whoever is sitting down the end of the hallway just has to wait because he can always duck behind something that he can't get shot through. And you have to go through the gauntlet of this mile-long bullet death. Ugh. Anyways.
Yeah. But the border looks super good from what we've seen. It's hard to really say much without playing it. But I think we can say a little bit more about the operators. Freaking Blackbeard looks sick.
Blackbeard looks so good. And I think he's going to suit our team's play style already because we like to run with a shield.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the operators where it was like they could either really screw him up and make him completely useless, or they could make it do it right. And I think how they did it, you can rappel up a window and like go right up and just kill guys rappelling up a window. Like, he's got that shield covering him.
He can just sit on. When I was watching him playing, imagine him on cafe, those windows that like look into the train room. He could just chill there forever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's no real good way to get around that.
Yeah. I think what I'm most excited about for him is that he takes out the part of the game that I dislike the most, which is like the peeking and like the it's all about just like maximizing your use of like ping and stuff and like understanding how latency works and all that. And like he basically just takes that out because you can peek and you're safe and he can shoot stuff.
And that changes the way that you play. Even if you're not Blackbeard, if you're on defense, like you have to think, oh crap, I can't just pop my head out there because he might be invincible around a corner.
Right. Yeah, he's going to be cool. Did we see what his attachments and stuff are?
Yes. Attachments, we didn't really get to see that.
Equipment is more what I'm...
We got to see...
He's got breeches and flashbangs.
Yeah.
Okay.
He rocks the Deagle and the Scar H. I can't remember what his other...
The MK11, I think it's a DMR.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've seen the MK11 before, right? Buck has?
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm excited about the Scar. I like the Scar in every game I've ever used it in.
Yes, agreed.
So that'll be cool. Scar H, you said?
Scar H, yep.
So it's a heavy round. That'll be cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great operator.
I think we will see a Super 90 nerf. Not like... It won't kill him, but I can imagine that how he is now is going to... There's going to be Hellfire and Brimstone on the Reddit. I just already know it.
Yeah. People are already talking about it.
You're going to be pissed.
Wait, so he has a Super 90?
No. I'm saying his guns are going to be like the Super 90 where everybody complains about the falloff damage and how it's just...
Okay.
That he'll get a mid-season adjustment. I'd be so surprised if he didn't.
Yeah, I think he's quickly going to become the number one attacking operator, and there's going to be a good reason for it, and he's going to need some kind of nerf.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I'm glad that they're willing to, you know, take those risks.
Yeah. I'd rather them do that than make an operator, make another Tatranka.
Yeah, change up the meta. Worthless. Go for it.
Also, that he's 2 speed and 2 armor. I think both of them are, actually. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's cool. I was really, really hoping Valkyrie would be 1 speed, 1. We need more fast like defenders. I mean, I guess we got...
You mean 3 speeds? Like full speed?
Speed 3, yeah. I wonder, yeah. That's
gotcha,
what I meant.
Gotcha. Yeah, like, I was hoping that too, but she carries a medium armor, so...
Yeah.
I'd like that. I hate having a light operator for that case, like the random toe shot that puts you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that we're talking about Valkyrie, she's got... Let's talk about her attachments and stuff. She has the 4 cameras. Mm-hmm. Sticky cameras, you can throw them. You can throw them outside the map and everything. She has a Deagle and then
she has the SIG MPX.
Yeah, SIG MPX, thank you.
And then a SPAS 12, which I am so excited for. The
SPAS 12 looked like it had some range on it also. I was watching like when they were doing the demo where they were showing around, and you can watch this in that video we'll link, where they were showing like how some of the new operator things work. They showed Thermite like trying to shoot her with his shotgun, purposely missing, you know, and then she was like shooting him from like a pretty far range, and it was doing like putting him down.
Sweet.
It won't be
the Super 90. It's still pumped, you know, but it's
gonna be really good.
In every game I've ever played, that is my go-to shotgun. I'm so excited. And come on, the Deagle. We've all been looking for the Deagle.
All right, for sure. I was really hoping that they were going to show the Deagle in the little demo they did.
Yeah, the problem, the person playing at Serenity, he hasn't really like use. Well, the thing is, they only had like three rounds. I was really hoping they'd throw the last round so they could play more, but they didn't.
Right.
I was like really hoping they'd just like think like, oh, let's just throw this one. But Serenity, who was playing her, he was talking about it later. He's saying you only use a pistol like to down people, like, or not to down people, but to
take out downed people,
finish them off. Yeah. Now I was thinking like, that's not how I use it at all. Like if I'm like, especially with how I use the Magnum, I only use it if it's like I'm really close quarters and I just need to like turn a corner and just spray real quick. Because it does way more damage.
I think you do it weird. I think you do it differently than most people do.
Yeah.
And it works though.
I will not question your effectiveness. Certainly not. But it is odd. Every time you're Doc and you're running around with your Magnum, I'm like, that little fetcher is going to get his head blown off and then I'm going to be the only one left.
But yeah, like there was one point where like Serenity, it was like 2-1 in Serenity's favor, and he was like behind this little desk and he knew exactly where the dude was and he'd already lit him, and I was like, just pull out the deagle, man, like this is a great opportunity to show it off. Yeah, but
bring out the deagle.
I was like, come on dude, Serenity.
I think part of the thing is he was like testing stuff out beforehand, I guess, and so instead of like him running around like kind of testing stuff so we could see how it worked, he just kind of had already done his own testing.
He's just playing to win.
Yeah, so he's just playing.
Well, that's good because you don't want him to be like learning how to do it on stream and trying.
Yeah. You know? But we just didn't get to see as much as I'd hope. Like,
it would have been nice if he'd been able to keep in mind that he's showing this off, which I'm sure is tough to do.
Yeah.
He also doesn't want to look like a scrub as he's playing for a couple thousand people. And
but
then,
it was really cool.
And then Valkyrie, as far as gadgets go, secondary gadgets, she's got the deployable shield and she rocks a Nitro.
Pretty standard. Nitro's good.
Nitro's great to have on. Mm-hmm. I mean,
especially for her with the cameras, like that just seems like a lethal combination.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be cool. So we haven't really talked about the cameras though.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Not very visible. It's just like a little blue light, right?
Yeah. Yep. Way, way, way better than I thought they were.
Mm-hmm. And they're small.
Yeah. They're small.
And they've got a super wide range of view. You can like turn it 360 almost. I don't know how high you can look, but I know there was one time where he had looked like straight down and all the way to the left, all the way to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The kind of fisheye type of thing.
Yep.
It does have like a distorted color. Like it has a weird view.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like because as you could see him a couple times switching through the cameras, you could very clearly tell. All right, this is a black eye camera versus this is a regular camera.
Yeah, I wonder how they separate the cameras, like in the list, you know, because they're in a specific order every time. So, like, do they come all at the end, or are they just going to be?
I think when I was watching him do it, he was going through them all, and then it was black eye, black eye, black eye, black eye.
Okay, cool.
Okay, do them all again.
Yeah, that's good.
Is anybody else surprised that there were four of them?
I was so surprised.
I thought it was going to be two.
Two. Yep.
Yeah. I was hoping for three and I was expecting two.
Yeah.
But four.
Four. That's awesome.
Four is awesome.
Now we can cover. For so long, I've always wanted a freaking camera in master bedroom. And now I can have one.
There you go.
And not only that, I think she's going to be so good at like when they shoot that camera outside just at the very beginning of the round.
Just toss one out.
And toss another one out there. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be really awesome at that. You definitely have to like mess with her beforehand, like see where you have to stand, see where you have to look to throw them, you know?
Mm-hmm. It'll be like on Halo 1 when you were learning like where to toss a grenade to get the rocket launcher to come right to you in the corner or whatever.
Yeah, you learn exactly where to stand, exactly where to look. And
like you look up at this star and you stand in this corner and then you toss a grenade and then you jump. And like,
I think that's exactly what it's going to be. I can see people playing like Square Room and throwing one out the skylight some way.
Mm-hmm.
In a certain way.
Sure, I was just about to say Bank. Bank is the one I'm most excited for these cameras, because the outdoor cameras on Bank are absolute garbage.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Such garbage.
Yeah.
Especially for a bank.
Yeah. Like,
no kidding.
Yeah. Don't even get me started.
They're in good spots. They just need to turn. Like they turn like nothing. They don't turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what bugs me.
Yeah. So. Did we get any good idea of how far she can throw them? Is it like a drone toss or?
I didn't check.
It didn't seem like it was that far, but it seemed like you could throw them a pretty good distance. I don't know exactly. I think maybe similar to a frag grenade or a stun.
Okay. But I wasn't paying that much attention, so I don't really know, but that'll be interesting. And then also, like, I wonder, like, if you're throwing it like almost outside of the map environment, like, is it going to stick to those buildings? Like, do those buildings have the geometry they need to be able to like stick the way you'd expect?
So I know when I was messing with like drones for like a long time on bank, I was able to like climb one of those outside buildings.
Oh, really?
Almost all the way to the top. Yeah. So I know they have geometry on them.
Okay.
Obviously something they'll have to think about, but also, I don't know if you can throw them far enough to get to one of those outside buildings. I think they're definitely going to be sticking to trees too a lot.
Because
I try to throw my drone, it will hit like a leaf on a tree and like bounce like way outside.
That would actually probably be a good thing, just to be able to toss it into the leaves of the tree.
Like in Chalet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. For sure.
Out that main. I'm interested in Chalet and Bank. When you've got the really high ceilings in those main rooms, those cameras get taken out immediately. I'm curious to see whether Chalet will be different because you can throw it from the balcony. I guess you can in Bank too, but whether or not you can get the height on it to get it all the way up to that second floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think on Chalet as well, there's also those lights, those skylights that are like on the roof. You can't get in the roof on Chalet, so people don't ever fall through them or anything, but there's lights like above the library stairs. Or not lights, sorry, windows.
Like little skylight window things?
Yeah,
little
skylights.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I
see people throwing cameras outside that way. She's definitely going to be awesome.
Yeah, she's going to open up a lot of just like potential that has like things we've never explored. Like, you know, you're talking about these skylights that before they were just completely useless, and now all of a sudden they're going to be something that comes part of the game.
And you're going to have to be so much more careful attacking. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to slow the game down. I know some people are going to hate that, but like, not necessarily slow it down, but you're going to have to actually use your brain.
Right.
Yeah.
She's so cool. Oh my gosh, this is going to be so amazing.
What I'm most excited for about these two operators is that like Buck and Frost were pretty awesome. And Frost changed the meta of the game a ton. Like, all of a sudden you have to watch out for Frost traps on every single window and just in random hallways. But Buck, I feel like, didn't do a whole lot that way. Mm-hmm. But I feel like both of these revolutionized the game. Like, when we start playing here, it's going to be like playing a brand new game because there's so much more to worry about.
Yeah, I agree. And definitely with, bringing her into the game is going to make different operators play as well, like IQ. Now, like, depending on how easy it is to see those cameras, if IQ is there and she can find them exactly where they are, you might be able to do things like a bait or something, bait someone to one of the cameras. I don't know. But I think that's going to be awesome, is buffing other operators while they're doing that.
She's going to change everything. And I'm wondering, like, is it going to be kind of like drones where like you kind of figure out like the optimal spots, you know, and then like eventually those become bad because everybody knows to look there? Or is it going to be just like, because they can be placed pretty much anywhere, it's just going to be
anywhere.
Yeah. It's just going to be like a madhouse. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to watch it kind of evolve like Capkin traps. I mean, when we first got Capkin in that, was it the open beta when we first could play with him?
Yeah. I think it was the full version, wasn't it?
No, we got him in the open beta.
It wasn't in the closed, but I think it was the open. Like, that first day, everybody would just board up and trap right by the objective room, trying to hope people get in there. And then it evolved into like, oh yeah, the further you throw these things, I mean, the more random of a spot, the better chance you have of getting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see that too. Like, okay, let's just freaking scope the crap out of the objective room so we always know where they are when they're attacking it, versus like having a better peak location because you know they've come in on the sky bridge or whatever.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
But all speaking of buffs.
Yeah, buffs. So IQ, Tachonk, and Montaigne were specifically called out. They said there are going to be other minor changes to operators coming, mostly talking about gadgets and stuff like that, loadouts and things. But IQ, Tachonk, and Montaigne were specifically called out. So IQ...
Well, and interestingly, they didn't even... That one guy, was it Leroy? He says they're not even... No, I think it was Living Pink. I can't remember. One of them was like, these aren't buffs. These are reworks. Like,
right.
This is basically a new operator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is good because that's what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
At least IQ and Tachonk. We'll get to Montaigne, but... So IQ yeah. now she, so her scanner is like more transparent. So you can sort of just like see in front of you easier with it out. And she can now see the outline of objects in a room, and it looked like she could see them a little farther. Am I wrong about that? Or
It seemed like the same distance to me. You couldn't really tell, because I don't think there were any that were longer than usual. Because I see things before that was like 12 meters away. It would say 12 meters.
I guess I haven't used her gadget enough to even I just don't take notice of it because it's such garbage.
I had that same question though as I was watching, and I was trying to figure it out, and I didn't know if just because you could see the outline of what it was, it seemed like it was closer. But
That's what I think, kind of. But yeah, so she can actually see like, okay, that's a battery through a door, or that's a nitro or whatever. And that's like, suddenly it goes from totally useless to actual, like actionable intel.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And then like Chris said, she'll obviously become more useful as Valkyrie becomes part of the game.
Well, especially these first few weeks of this season. Because you know every single crew is going to be running a Blackbeard and a Valkyrie. Like, you just know there's going to be four extra cameras around.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so any other thoughts on IQ?
No, I think that covers it. There's really not much else to talk about.
I mean, I haven't even played her enough to know how cool this is going to be, if at all.
Right.
Yeah. I think she'll be... If there's an objective where you can shoot through the floor, like living room in house, I think she'll be really helpful. She can go into the training room and shoot up and kill all the Jaegers, all the ADS systems.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
But if there's objectives that are just like completely walled off where she can't shoot through a wall anyway, it's going to be like...
So essentially, she's going to be worthless in Yacht still.
but I mean, at least she'll be able to look in and say like, hey, don't use your frags because there's... ADS is in there, you know, or
true.
And I'm trying to think like what other gadgets are important to even know where they are. The cameras obviously will be something, but like bandit stuff, it seems like you can tell it's there before it becomes a problem.
I doubt frost traps are electronic. That would be certainly helpful for me. I don't know how. I just find every single one of them. Doesn't matter. There's six windows, one frost trap. You can guarantee what window I breached. But
Tachanka, my Chanka.
Oh, Chonky. We're so excited for you.
He's going to be useful.
Yay.
It's taken like 6 months, but
it's so funny because when we first got to play him, and I think it was the open beta also, he was my favorite operator for like the first probably day and a half of that. Yeah, it was so awesome. And like, I got so many just like triple kills with him, just like locking down rooms and stuff. But then like, as people learned about it, he was so easy to counter.
Well, because there was only five places on each map where he could actually put a stupid gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now he's able to put it in a smaller space. And also he can deploy and pick it up faster. They didn't say specifically how much faster.
No, so the current time is like it's like 4.3 seconds to
it's a long it time
put it down sorry to put it down and then picking it up it was around 4 seconds.
Well, and the thing is it's 4.3 seconds to put it down plus the 15 seconds it takes you to find the spot that you can put it down.
yeah totally. Well, and if you ever get in a tight spot and by some miracle get off the gun in time, there's no way you can pick it up and take it with you. Like that turd is done for that round. Mm-hmm. But if it's fast enough to be able to take it with you, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm also hoping they decrease the amount of time it takes for him to like get off his gun as well.
I was hoping that too.
That takes a while too when people shoot at you and you're like having to let go of the gun and then like slowly bring your gun back up. You know, it's like,
just let me run.
Drop off.
Right. Yeah. We talked about that before too. And I hope that is because it just seems so silly. Like, I get like getting onto it and having to pick it up, get the weight and adjust it and everything, like that makes sense. And also for balance, that makes sense, but there's no reason that he shouldn't be able just to hop off and run away.
Well, let's talk realistic. If I'm getting shot at and I'm a sitting duck, you could better believe I'm getting fat off that turret faster than Tachanka is.
And maybe if it's a balancing, like maybe let him hop off and like move, but like have him take a while for him to get his gun up, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, so not be like a battlefield thing where you're like in a tank and you just like hop out and you're shooting him, but like hop out, at least let him move around, you know?
Right. Yeah. Give him a penalty to bringing the gun up for sure. but let him move.
Yeah.
100% agreed.
Cool. So is this really going to fix Tachanka though? Because also his problem is he's just so vulnerable when he's on that turret.
I think we're going to get the surprise factor again, that we can have his back to walls that are actually secure. And now you can just put him somewhere in a corner, hide him. I think he's going to be more useful. I don't know if he's going to be a superstar again, but I think it'll be viable. You won't have teammates team killing you because you want to play him.
Yeah, like and there's been a lot of discussion of Tachanka on the sub and everything, and like I've always held that I think his biggest problem is the placement of the gun and not necessarily the vulnerability, because he should be somewhat vulnerable.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I mean, now if you can wait to see where they're coming from and then put the turret down, because it only takes a second and a half to put it down or something, like that could change everything.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think I really do think it'll come down to like a random, like, what are you doing there? Like, what in the world? You know?
Right. Yeah, it'll be like the frost bomb traps that we have success with, where like instead of putting it on entryways and on windows, which works sometimes, but people usually expect it, instead you put it like in the corner that they're going to strafe into when they come into a room, you know, and they're not looking for it there.
Most people realize they're there. Taylor still hits them every time.
That's because Taylor's always got his shield up, because he's the team shield boy.
Worrying about those bullets, man.
Which brings us to Montaigne, Taylor's number one.
Yeah, one of my favorite operators as well. I think he's like my third most played offensive operator.
Yeah, you guys play him a ton. I mean, was super funny to me when they brought this up. They're like, oh yeah, we buffed the people that people are like most asking about. IQ, Tachanka, and Montaigne. And I'm like,
Montaigne,
like Montaigne's fine.
We always have a Montaigne on our team. Like that never is a problem.
Yeah, if I had to make that list, it would be IQ, Tachanka, and Kapkin.
Yeah, for sure. Totally.
I'm wondering because she did say those weren't the only ones that were getting buffed, just the ones that they had listed. So I'm wondering if inside the patch notes there's a Kapkin buff that people are going to be like, why wasn't this in the huge review that you guys are talking about?
I think probably the reason they talked about it is because of how revolutionary it is. Like, he's changing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he's getting basically on the side of his shield, he's getting like an angled, like wraparound almost that'll cover his sides a little better. So you can't just kind of, like if he's in a doorway, you won't have to be like turning back and forth to try to match their fire or whatever.
I'm so excited for that, by the way. I can just stand and watch and tell everybody where they are and not have to worry about my kidneys getting shot out.
Right.
Yes.
But
yeah, it's going to be good.
It looks like a freaking telephone booth. Like the pictures of it, it's like he's just chilling. He's like a walking room. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be awesome. Really, he already is awesome. Like if I know there's a roamer upstairs, I know it's Jaeger. Like I go up there and I trap him inside of a room. I'm just like, "Hey, I'm going to need somebody to come kill him in a moment."
Yeah.
Then I'm like, "Okay, wait to walk in. Okay, now come in." They just knife him in the back because he's too busy focused on me. But now with that, just like you can just say, "Okay, I got Jaeger and Rook stuck in this room. I'm just going to stand in the doorway while you guys go and get the objective."
Yeah. I guarantee
you guys go finish the other guys.
I guarantee that people are going to like the hate for shields is going to come back in force with this. Like,
oh yeah.
We just barely stopped hearing about it. Like the only crap we hear about shields now is the recruit shield. Mm-hmm. But
Between Montaigne and Blackbeard.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. Or even just Blackbeard or any shield standing over them.
Oh yeah.
Like they just have to sit there now. He's got to sit there and Blackbeard's over them doing all their shooting.
My biggest fear when I'm Montaigne is that it's not that I'm going to get shot because I'm freaking standing behind a wall. Like, yeah, I got the sides to worry about. Not anymore. But my biggest fear is that my buddy who's like peeking his head out is going to get owned and then I'm going to be stuck there without a gun and just kind of be worthless. But now you've got somebody who can peek around you without any consequences, and I don't have to do the Montaigne shuffle to stay alive. Like, I can just sit there. Oh, it's going to be hated, but it's going to be glorious.
It'll be so good.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm looking at the picture now. It's just insane. That shield is like literally, it is a telephone booth. You're completely right.
Right?
I'm wondering Like, you know how, like, when you look up when he's in his shield, he, like, looks up through the glass instead of turning?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's what it's going to be like when he, like, tries to turn first, if he just moves his head first, look through the glass instead of turning. Probably not. Probably just turn.
Probably not, but that would be... But then it will protect your back. I'm so excited for that one. That was the one I was most excited about. I'm excited for Tachanka, but, man, I play Montaigne so often that this is going to be great.
Yeah, so I'm wondering...
That's awesome.
Is this going to lead us to unending stalemates in Biohazard, where you can just get into a corner and it's like one-on-one and you're just locked down in your shield and the guy can't kill you?
Hmm.
So I think what that's going to come down to is, yes, that, but somebody's eventually going to get like, okay, I'm sick of this.
But there's dumb.
Times that's, that still happens on Oregon, where there's times where somebody's at the top of the stairs, the other guy's all the way down in there. Like, so I'm talking about basement. In Oregon on secure area, and somebody's down there in the basement, like by the those towels, and I think where the washer and dryer is over there, you know, that corner.
Yeah.
And the other guy's at the top of the stairs and securing it, and I'm just like telling my teammate, hey, just wait there. He's going to come to you. Don't go to him. And like, they always just get impatient and finally come, and whoever decides to go first dies.
Okay, well, but that's a different situation. In this situation, Montaigne's totally invincible, and the other guy doesn't have a nitro or something, can't leave the room because the game will be over because time's out. Then what happens?
So that's the same thing. It's just them waiting for the other person to make a move.
That'd be
waiting for the other person to decide to walk out of the room and be done?
Or Montaigne to try to drop his shield and try to shoot him.
Why would Montaigne ever do that?
I can promise you
why
this
would
Montaigne's
the other guy ever, you know, like it's the same thing as the other thing. Why would you ever move? Just stay up there. Just wait.
That's the thing. Is it just gonna, I think you're right though, that it'll be interesting to see if that develops a stalemate.
Yeah. Right. Well, because that's the thing, is like, it's not quite like, okay, who's going to make a move first? It's like, we both don't have any moves to make. So who's going to decide to throw the match first?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in the other situation, it's like, yeah, you're probably better just to wait. But also, if you go and peek, you might get the shot. You see what I'm saying? This could end up as like Bandit just staring down Montaigne. Montaigne's not going to drop his shield. Bandit's not going to walk out of the room and lose.
Yeah.
So then what happens?
I really think it's still going to come down to Montaigne's going to drop a shield or Bandit's going to get a shot on him.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to be sitting there for 10 minutes ever. Somebody's going to get impatient. Because there's times where you're trying to get people to be patient. They can't be patient. They have to keep moving around. They have to do something. Like, it can't just sit still and just wait. They can't do it.
Here's looking.
And that's just in like a minute. So I think 10 minutes, no way.
I don't know. I just think it's an interesting situation that, like, we haven't been presented with before.
Fortunately, it doesn't happen very often. A Montaigne surviving to a one-on-one is pretty rare, because that means I've killed somebody who, your offensive power as Montaigne is never fantastic. So, but it could happen.
Well, I mean, it's possible that it was two-on-one and the guy took out your gun and then it's one-on-one. But anyway, we'll see. That'll be interesting when that happens to us on stream, because it will. We'll put a highlight of it on the sub.
And just a little thing that says F Chris.
Exactly. Watch Montaigne be able to like melee with his shield up now. So you can walk into people and just like boof.
Do you think they're going to switch his ability to toggle?
I freaking hope so.
I don't know.
I'm getting arthritis in my trigger finger from trying to hold that stupid button down the whole time.
Yeah, I think that's something that should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah, I never have a problem because I mean, it's for me, it's like it's my the button next to my trigger, and it's not even like hard to hold down, you know? Like, it's just a simple holding it. Like, whereas like the mouse wheel is like, that gets like, it's annoying to hold down, or if you accidentally scroll, you're screwed.
I've done that quite a few times.
Wait, you guys have your thing on the mouse wheel, your special ability?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I do. Mine's on the scroll wheel.
Oh, I have mine on a thumb button on the side.
Mm.
It's way easier.
All my thumb buttons are taken. Anyways.
So the other minor changes, which actually are pretty huge.
Yeah.
Buck is going to have frags. Frost will not have a nitro. And Amen. Thermite will have flashes instead of frags.
Yeah, that's...
As one who never plays Frost and plays Shield quite frequently, I am so excited not to get blown up for the 5,000th time by Frost.
Yeah.
Yes.
especially with them putting in another operator with Nitro, it's good that they're taking one out.
Right. Yeah. I'm two thumbs up on all three of these changes.
Well, I wish there might still have frags because I love frags, but
I think it's good for balance though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because Buck is going to have frags. So if you want frags, you can choose Buck. It's not like they're taking out an operator with frags, but Thermite, I mean, up to this point, he's been number one attacker, like without question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think he'll still be essential because he's the only one that breaches those reinforced walls. But at least now it won't be like, oh, if we choose an objective where Thermite isn't that essential, he's still super powered because he's one of the two with frags.
Yep.
Yeah. And also the thing with what I can see happening now is the thing where you can stop putting down a breaching charge or gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
You can stop midway. I can see Bandit and Thermite on both sides of the wall just sitting there, like both putting them down and then picking it back up, putting it down, picking it back up, putting just it down.
Playing patty cake.
Yeah. Turning them down and gets it down.
That's going to be a whole new disgusting meta that nobody wants to deal with.
Somebody just freaking headshots them, just over with it.
Yeah. But I wonder, is that going to apply to every animation?
I think so. Oh, every animation?
Every gadget placement. So, like, what else are we talking about?
I don't know. Like, yeah, like, I don't know, like Frost and stuff. Because some of them, it just seems weird to cancel mid-thing. Like, Frost, if she's got her things halfway put down and she cancels, like, it snap on her wrist or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's one that I think we're going to have to see. Because who knows how far across they took this.
Yeah. But that's really good because I'm so sick of like you're putting up a breach charge and somebody starts shooting at you and you're just stuck.
Yep. Your feet. It's the worst.
Even if I had to lose the breach charge, I'd be totally fine.
Yeah. I'm just sick of shin kills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about attachments and weapons because this is one of my favorite things about this.
Yeah. They're changing the freaking red dot sight, reflex sight, one of the two. Both. They're changing. Oh, yeah, that's true. They are changing both. The reflex is the one with the triangle, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So they're changing the triangle to be tiny, smaller, so you can actually, like...
So you don't have a big
see.
Triangle on your screen the whole time?
Exactly, yeah. And then they're changing the other one. They changed the look of it, but we don't know what it looks like. So I'm hoping it's similar to how it was in, like, older games where it was like just a square, like Modern Warfare 2, even Battlefield games still have it where it's good, where it's just like a big square of glass with a dot.
So like the metal frame of the site is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That's what they, from what I've taken from that, that's what they've changed.
And then they also said the red dot was smaller and crisper.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because that's the only reason I ever picked Holographic, which I still think ACOGs are going to be king over everything because of the headshot thing. But I think like that's the only reason I would choose Holographic over Red Dot Sight, because the Red Dot Sight was like a little circle, which I could never see anything. I could just see what's inside that little circle, and it always bugged me instead of having like a bigger square. But I would love to have like a giant square of glass where I can just see through, you know?
And you know what? If you're in the middle of a round and you don't like that red dot, you can just switch back to your ACOG because, yes, I don't have to freaking go to the main screen to change things anymore.
Finally, I'm actually going to change things instead of just deal with it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, I forgot to change that ACOG. Well, too bad. Wow. Now you're starting the search for you.
Exactly. Like, F that. So excited about that.
Right. And well, the thing about changing them before, it was just like, it was such a hassle because like you'd get to the game, you choose somebody, you'd be like, oh crap, I wanted to have this instead. Then after the game, you have to remember like which operator you wanted to change, what specific gun it was, what specific site it was, you know? And like, it's just like,
you just have to remember to do it in general too.
Right. Like having like all 20 of those operators or 22 now separate, and like they all have their own like 7 layers deep menu to get into. It's just like, it's not worth the time to like go through and adjust every operator.
Yeah.
So you see that too. They still need to make the freaking PC menu just like a click where you can change it. Like instead of a click this, slide in menu. Click okay, slide in menu. Click okay, slide in menu. Purchase, slide in menu. Are you sure? Slide in menu.
Yeah.
Bye.
I'm not using a controller. I'm using a mouse.
What do you guys think about the charms, the keychains on the guns?
Cool.
Whatever. Kind of worthless to me. Like, all right.
it's a new personality to the game, which I'm cool with.
I think it's them adding more stuff that they can part of their money, their marketing strategy, you know.
And I freaking hope that everybody buys them so that they so they can continue to support the game that I love. Yeah. But I probably will not.
If they have some really cool charms and they're priced right, if it's $1.99, I'll buy some charms. Like, I'm down for that. I play the game enough that it's fun. Like,
if they're really, really cool,
Right, but they better not be garbage, and they better not be $5.99 each. You know what I mean?
Or even if they're a crazy amount of renown, so that all these people that have stashed away like 300,000 actually can do something with it.
Right.
I'm also just still secretly hoping they're going to have like one charm that's like a some crazy skill to unlock.
Yes,
or something.
Have unlockables based on achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where Battlefield's got you.
Yeah, for sure. That's just one thing I love. I love working it to get something and then showing it off to everybody. Like, look, I have this because I did this, you know? Like, I
got
know.
5 million head kills, so I've got a skull hanging from my...
Like, instead of purchasing the sledge charm, instead of it being like 5,000 right now or something, have it be like, get a kill with a sledgehammer. You can use the sledge charm.
Yeah.
Or the Twitch charm would be get like 10 or destroy like a bunch of gadgets with the Twitch drone, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And you unlock the Twitch charm. I hope they do the same thing with challenges too. Instead of play Twitch and win two rounds, it would be destroyed.
I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
No, but
yeah, it's a lot of work, I think.
And then new skins, which is kind of along the same line, right?
Yep. Yeah, I don't think it's worth our time to talk about it really. Yeah.
That operator headgear, that's different.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so you can customize the way your operator looks now.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
I think that's pretty cool as well.
And that's what all of the Vegas guys have been wanting forever. You took away our customization. So there you
go,
little
boys.
About? Have you not read all that? People who freak out because Rainbow Six Vegas had so much customization. Like you could put your face on it.
Got it.
Yeah.
He's gonna say Vegas people. I'm like, what Vegas people? What are you talking about?
Who do you know from Las Vegas that plays this game?
Yeah.
Is there like some group? No, that's what I mean. All the people who played New Vegas. Why do I keep saying that? Who just played Rainbow Six Vegas?
Yeah. Anything else? End of round kill cams in color. That's good.
It's cool.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Lighting changes.
Oh yeah.
Before we go into lighting changes, that was something that always bugged me, the kill cams not being in color, because it's like you couldn't really see whatever happened in the end of your own kill cam if it was really cool, or sometimes it would be like in a darker room, so the black and white would just make it like pitch black where you can't really see anything, you know?
Yeah, well, because it wasn't just like it was in black and white, it also seemed to have like a filter on it where like...
Yes, that too, and then it was also like a little bit zoomed in to the screen kind of instead of...
Yeah, I would just want to see legitimately what that person saw so I can understand what happened.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, lighting changes.
Your retinas aren't going to be burned
out. Fix the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else to say? Like, finally, we'll be able to see outside of windows
or see into dark rooms. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that's exactly what they did. I'm hoping it's not like we adjusted it slightly, so now you can kind of see outside. I'm hoping it's and what it sounded like from when Serenity was talking about it. He said that he didn't get to see too much of it because he wasn't playing on his normal graphic settings, which I think was like hey, you guys' PCs kind of suck here.
Yeah, I caught that too.
It was kind of funny. But he was saying, but he thinks he's going to notice it when he's at home playing and like being able to see outside, like you can actually see to know it's safe to go out there. And they weren't saying anything like Live in Pink or Leroy weren't saying anything like, oh no, it's not exactly like that. So I'm hoping that they actually change it to where it's like from right here at my desk, I can look outside my window and see that house. I'm hoping that's how it is inside the game. You can see out of house and see the gazebo when you're standing on the balcony of house.
Do you mean glass is going to be useful during the daytime?
Yeah, on plane especially, where you can't see a thing except for silhouettes of operators walking across the plane every once in a while.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. Just recently, somebody had posted, and this is when it had come out that there were lighting changes that were going to happen. Somebody had posted like a trick about changing your brightness down to like 40 if you're or down to 30 when you're defending during the daytime. So I started doing it recently. It's insane. Like you can actually see outside.
Hmm.
It's like, wow, this is nice. Let's see out there.
I can't find it in my heart to actually take the time to change my settings like that.
Yeah, it takes like a good 20 seconds every round.
Well, when you said that, I went into my settings and I found that my brightness was just too high according to what it said.
Yeah.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. And so like it was around like 30-ish that was like the right setting for me anyway. So that helped a lot.
Fine. I'll take the time and go do it.
Yeah.
It takes like 10 seconds each round, actually.
Okay.
It's Taylor.
I know. Yeah. As I'm staring at the SSD that's been on my computer desk for the past 5 months, should probably install that at some point.
Probably.
Oh, so lazy. One thing about that reveal, like the panel that they had afterwards when they were talking about this stuff, mm-hmm. I want to be Leroy's friend. He seems like the coolest guy ever.
Yeah, he does seem pretty cool.
But why is somebody with an accent that thick explaining the technical aspects of like he's like nothing to him. He's seems like a totally cool guy, and I'm sure he's a big part of the team, but
and props for going out of his way to learn English. It's not hard. It's not easy to learn a new language.
Yeah. And then to be comfortable enough to talk to 12,000 people in that language. Awesome. Definitely. But at the same time, I had to like re-listen to sections like 6 or 7 times where I'm like, what the heck did he just say? I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very good change. Okay. I believe you, Leroy.
Yeah, it was really difficult to understand. Like, there were times where I thought he was actually speaking in French, and I thought like Living Peak was gonna translate, but I was like, wait, that was English? I didn't hear that.
Everybody just starts nodding. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, like it's almost like I had wished that they had either given the information to like Ubi Justin, who speaks perfect English, has no accent at all, so that he could say it where we could understand it, or like just have him speak in French and have Living Peak translate for us what he said.
Yeah. Anyways, that's a by the by.
But
yeah, I'm with you. I'd like to be his friend. He seems like a cool guy, but if I was, I'd learn French.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's pretty much everything we want to talk about, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Correct.
Okay, so my closing thought is just this is awesome. Like, this patch is so good from what we've heard so far, and there's more in it from what we know. And I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Of course, it's going to probably introduce a few new bugs, but that'll get worked out. But some of this stuff shouldn't have taken this long.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Like, we need smaller, quick patches. And also, they didn't say anything about hacking or exploits at all.
Which are huge.
Yeah, not a word.
I think that was probably partially to the fact that they're like, just had that final. It's like clear indication of, hey, these guys cheated the F out of the system, got to the finals, and got wrecked by a team that actually can play. Let's not draw any more attention to that.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Like, you don't, on the national stage, you don't want to be up there saying like, oh, by the way, our game's totally broken and infested with cheaters.
But I need to see something soon.
Yeah, it better be patch notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Especially exploiting. Like, instead of it being, oh, yeah, we have a fix. We have a fix ready for 3.0. Like, why? If you have a fix ready for 3.0, don't 3.0 right now. Do it. Fix it. Yeah,
those things need to be hot fixes.
Like, I understand the console thing, and I talked about this last podcast, the console thing being longer because you have whatever thing you have to do. But with PC, it's just like, fix, patch it, just do it.
Yeah, like I'm totally down, like these operator buffs and stuff that takes some time to work out and all that, and you want to like, you kind of want to do it all at once so you can see how it all interacts together and things like that. The weapon sights, we can wait on that, that's fine. But like these exploits, they need to be gone as soon as they're found. Like, it cannot wait this long because it ruins the game. It makes the game totally unplayable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So moral of the story, great patches, great work, but freaking, it needs to be faster. It needs to be more transparent, and it doesn't need to be in these huge blocks.
Agreed.
Yeah. I agree. Same thing. That's my same ending note. And I really hope there's something, some anti-cheat something in 3.0. Cause
please,
I freak.
Hopefully they're not talking about it just so that when it comes out, all the hackers will get caught and there'll just be a huge band wave.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's what it is. I really hope
that would feel not, so good.
Why? Oh, also ranks are being reset.
Oh yeah,
every season they say they're going to reset the ranks, which is good.
I didn't know that. That warms my soul.
Yeah, that's exciting. I think ranked is going to be if so. I think what will happen if they if there is something about anti-cheat and ranks are reset, I think ranked is going to be. First of all, I think the game's going to get a whole bunch of new people, not new people, but people that had played before back into the game to play again. And I think ranked's going to be played instead of having 15-minute match queues.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be able to get into a match, which will be nice.
Cool. So I love Siege. Sorry, I was a little down on it for the past couple of minutes. I love Siege. It's great. We all love Siege, and that's why we do these podcasts. Yeah. Great job. Ubisoft, if you're listening.
They're not, but we still love you.
Wouldn't it be cool if they were?
Ah,
warm let us know, Abby. If you're hearing let us know. Cool. Oh, also, so we posted on the sub recently, and we talked about this in our last podcast, that we wanted to talk to some hackers and interview them and just kind of understand why they do it and stuff. And I got like four or five responses from people. So we're going to...
Wow. You hadn't told me that.
Yeah, I told Chris last night, but you didn't play with us last night, you jerk. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you ignorant slut.
We lost so bad. That's not true. We did really well with that.
You don't have me.
What are you talking about?
We did great. We actually kind of decided we're not going to invite you anymore.
Aww.
No, but so yeah, I got a few hits on that. So we're going to kind of filter through those and hopefully find the one or two that are more serious and legitimate. That's in quotes because it's hacking. But yeah, so hopefully on the next episode we'll have some at least an interesting insight into the mind of video game cheaters.
Or somebody who wants to fake be a cheater, which is an interesting pathology all of itself. So I think that's good. We're excited.
Thanks for listening. That's a podcast.